Hello, everyone. Welcome to Shannon and Craig's So, How Was Your Weekend? In search of interesting answers to the world's most boring question. Happy Monday to you all.
Monday. Man, I'm so glad it's not really Monday for us, that it really is the weekend. And we're actually going to go and step outside, get ourselves some vitamin D for the original. This is the very first one that we sort of planned on as a podcast. We're like, this is the one we got to do.
That is true.
Yeah.
It was the most accessible and kind of random event. And here we are.
Yeah.
What are we doing? Where are we going?
Well, we're going to go outside and we're going to actually check out ski jumping, which happens regionally in our area of New England. And it's like one of two places around New England, or the only ski jump in New England.
Let me tell you.
Okay.
It is Vermont's only Olympic-sized ski jump.
It's happening in our backyard.
Yes.
And there's a festival going on, and there's like ice sculptures and hot cocoa, I'm sure, is probably beer tents.
Yeah, this is the weekend in Brattleboro, Vermont.
Yeah, and we're doing it.
We are.
But we're really interested in ski jumping, because why in the world would we have a ski jump in our backyard? So we had to do some research about this, check out the background, and then talk about what we think is really going to happen today.
Right.
What's going to happen today?
So I think the main question that I had going into this, you just brought up, which is, there is an Olympic-sized ski jump in this small town in southern Vermont. It is only used for this event. This ski jump is used 2 days out of the entire year. And I find that quite curious. So I did some research into the ski jump because I was concerned that it might be costing the taxpayers a lot of money. Ooh. To maintain the ski jump. Should I get into the history of the ski jump specifically? Or
no.
Do you want to go general first?
I think that before we get into specific and we put a needle in the haystack over there, we should really get into the history, which I was curious about, because it is such a unique thing. I've actually seen ski jumping before.
In real life?
In real life, but I've seen it in the summertime. So if you go to Lake Placid, and go to the Adirondacks for a lovely vacation up there, if you go to Lake Placid where they have the events, they actually have an outdoor summertime ski jump where you actually land on like plastic grass.
That sounds terrifyingly dangerous.
Yeah, it's, I can only imagine falling on that and how bad that'll be. But I've seen it, but I guess the distances that are achieved during that time are much different.
Because you were not watching it at an Olympic-sized ski jump built to international specifications?
Oh, no, it was. It was part of the Olympics. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
There was an Olympics in Lake Placid?
I'm
not kidding.
We may have to stop this podcast. Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, the most famous hockey story that has, like, ever happened in the history of the United States occurred, you know, 200 miles north of here, Lake Placid.
Let me tell you something about the Winter Olympics. If it was figure skating, I might know something about it.
Okay.
Not necessarily where it happened or in what year. That's all I got. Mm. I was trying to think about when and where ski jumping happens, and I thought maybe that happens at the Olympics, but again, because it's not figure skating, I wouldn't know. And I thought maybe it happens at something like the X Games, but if it's not snowboarding, I wouldn't know.
I cannot wait to get into the history based on all of that. Really? Really?
Based on my enormous cloud of ignorance.
Absolutely.
All right.
Oh, my word. Okay.
Tell me. Yeah. I have so much to learn.
Oh, man. We're going to probably get a lot of listener mail for that. And you should. You should write in and just blast Shannon about not knowing anything about the history of U.S. hockey in New York, Lake Placid.
Well, I know a lot about Surya Bonnelly, so.
What? That's not even a thing. Okay, so let's get into
moving
it.
Moving back to ski jumping.
So mad. So it actually started in 1808, and I found out that, like, all the people's names that I found are, like, tremendously hard to say. With the exception of this one guy. In 1808, his name was Ole, O-L-E, Rye, R-Y-E. I got that one down.
Ole Rye sounds like a brand of whiskey.
It sounds like a great drink. He jumped a whopping 9.5 meters. So that was the first official one on record, 9.5 meters.
That's not really that far,
That's not
right?
very far.
Okay, no. Just checking.
Meters, you know, a little bit longer than a yard, all right? But it started in Norway, and it wasn't traditionally, like, distance they didn't really care about. It was more about, like, style and distance. It was kind of like ice skating, maybe? So a little bit of the style and performance mixed into one. So it wasn't necessarily looked as the farthest jump that would win. It had to be a little bit of both. So it started in Norway. 1808, Ole Rye jumped 9.5 meters. About 60 years later, in 1866, a Norwegian named Sondre Norheim had the first world ski jump recorded with, like, prizes and money, and that was in 1866. Considered to be the father of ski jumping. Just guess he kind of, like, did it for fun all the time.
I wonder if we're going to see some Norwegian representation
today. I bet we will. Everything that I've seen has been, like, Norwegian-influenced over here. So, moving ahead about 40 years, World War II occurs. And, Tulin Toms, that's a guy's name, I guess, and Sigmund Rude developed a new style. And that was sort of like your skis are together, you kind of lean forward and your arms are like, it's almost like you're kind of like going to squat down on the potty.
It's all about aerodynamics versus...
Yes, it was like keeping the body tight. Yes. So skis together, arms out forward, kind of like tucked in, kind of like you're crouching to do a squat.
Is this when the unitard came into play?
I don't know.
Oh, I'm very curious about that.
We should look up, unitards. What was it called? What's the name of that? The union suit.
Oh, yes.
Except a little bit different. Unitard. Anyways, look up union suits if you don't know what those are. So they invented this new style in 1914, which is called the Kongsberger.
Kongsberger?
Yeah.
Kongsberger ski jumping?
Kongsberger style.
And that's probably what we will be seeing today.
Wrong.
No way!
It has moved on. All right? Right. I know.
Oh, so, okay, we started with style.
Right.
Then we moved into more scientific aerodynamics.
So they're trying to go a little bit further. In 1936, Sepp Bradl from Austria was the first person to jump 100 meters, which is 330 feet for all you mathematicians out there. First person. The ski jumping starts with the Olympics in 1924 at Chamonix, Mont Blanc. So we have a history here. Then nothing happens. Ski jumping happens. It stays the same.
In the Olympics.
Same style. Everyone's just kind of like crouching, skis together. And then in 1950, a Swiss jumper, Andreas Dascher, decided to throw his arms backwards. It's sort of like kind of the style that we have now. So again, keep it more aerodynamic. Lean forward a little bit. 35 years later, nothing happens. And then, again, in Lake Placid, New York, 1985, a Swede named Jan Bakalev says, I'm going to try something new. And what he started to do is, it's what you think of now as like the V with your skis. So you kind of have like the back tips touching, the front tips kind of like out wide. You lean wicked far forward.
That's the strategy?
That's
to widen your skis?
To widen your skis. And he was mocked openly. Openly.
My initial instinct was to mock him.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So everyone was like, that's not going to work. Clearly, you're not thinking about aerodynamics.
Learn some science.
You're leaning
Andreas.
Into the wind. You don't even have like the aerodynamics of your skis going on. You're ridiculous. But he was doing so well that 7 years later in 1992... Everybody's doing the Jan Bakalev style.
They jumped on board.
They jumped on board.
Unlike the underhanded free throw.
Which should come back.
Never took off.
Dude, the percentages alone at getting that done is like...
Right. Well, I'm glad that ski jumpers are not as stubborn as basketball players.
Right.
That's
so,
the only thing I've learned today.
Everyone's hitting the V right now. So that's the way it's... Nothing's changed.
They're hitting the V.
They're hitting the V. Getting it done. And then I've...
I hope they have t-shirts that say that.
I hope that we can... There we go. Pen penning. Pen penning. Pen penning. And what I found that is in 2016, the longest ski jump is 825 feet.
That is the longest...
ski jump recorded where someone has landed.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Can I go back to one historical thing that you brought up?
I guess. I just historied out.
You totally did. And I don't see how I could have anything more to contribute, but I have one thing about the Olympics.
Okay.
So you mentioned, when did it start in the Olympics? The
1924.
20s? Apparently, women were not included in ski jumping in the Olympics until...
Recently.
Sochi.
Yeah.
2014.
Yeah.
I found that shocking.
Yeah.
There was something else that women, something that we've gone to that women were also only recently included in, I feel.
Contradicting?
Oh, no, we didn't go. It was a surf competition that we did not go to, but that I had heard about. This year was the first year that women were allowed in this big wave ski competition. Ski competition. But we did learn how the female arm wrestlers, there's not that many of them, and the prize for the championship is a fraction of the prize for the men.
Gender discrimination.
We gotta get up in these sports, ladies.
Right. Dang.
Let's go.
Yeah, and actually, that reminds me is that I actually talked to a ski jumper who jumped at Harris Hill not too long ago, like during high school stuff. And there's famous women who come and jump off of this. But they're totally crushed because they can't go any further. So again, 2014, if you were really good at ski jumping and you were a female, like this was it. Like this was like the premier event. Prior to 2014, right. Yeah. Like why excel? But it isn't only in America. I mean, even over in Europe, they have other ski jump competitions where women are able to do it. But yeah, again, not in the Olympics.
Well, I'm glad that our local Harris Hill ski jump competition is welcoming to the females.
It's true. Oh my word.
Yeah. So,
yeah. Should we take a quick break while we come back and talk about the Harris Hill?
Let's do that.
All right. Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Shannon and Craig. So, how was your weekend? We just got done talking about the history of ski jumping, which I certainly just historied up, and then Shannon's going to come with us and talk to us and tell us all about the Harris Hill here in Brattleboro, Vermont, and you got all the information here, so blow me away. Here we go.
I will do the best I can.
Okay.
The Harris Hill ski jump is a really big deal here in town. However, when you go to research it, there is one website for the event. So I got as much information as I could, paired with some of my own thoughts. So the Harris Hill ski jump was constructed in 1921, and it cost $2,000 to construct at that point. And obviously various updates have been made over the years. And the biggest improvement to the hill happened recently. A nonprofit group had to raise $600,000 to bring the hill up to world competition specifications. So it's a pretty expensive piece of equipment.
Wow.
But I thought it was interesting that a nonprofit group is behind the maintenance and I assume getting the event all together. So there has been a ski jump competition almost every single year since the ski jump was constructed. I will tell you the years that there were no ski jumps. 1930, 1932, 1937, 1943, 245, they shut it down because of World War II. And then there have been a few years that they say they had no snow, but apparently they had a ski jumping competition anyway, which, now that you said at Lake Placid, they're ski jumping onto grass, I suppose that's what went down. I also found it curious that they said there was no snow. This was in the 80s and the 90s. I know that now they have a permanent snowmaking setup. And what I read is, even though in my mind right now we have plenty of snow, we got a couple of feet over the past week. What I read was that 1 foot of snow that falls when it's compacted is about 2 inches of snow. So pretty much there can never be enough snow unless we've had a super, super crazy winter. So they have permanent snowmaking connected to town water. And every year they have the ski competition. They have to make snow. One feature of the Harris Hills ski jump is that it's built on a real slope rather than a ramp. The ski jump is built up a hill that's surrounded by a whole series of trails. And so this allows spectators to climb up and be surrounding the actual ramp, which is, fairly rare.
Yeah.
Because
generally it's just built like construction. And then spectators would be on the landing zone.
Exactly. So I'm pretty psyched that we're going to get a unique view of this sport.
Well, that's if we want to walk uphill.
This is true.
I don't really.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because one thing I wanted to talk about was the stairs.
Yeah.
So we have this ski jump. I just gave you a little of the history. As we said earlier, it is used twice a year. It's not like ski jumpers are coming all winter to train in camps or anything like that. It is obviously not open to the public. So it's just there. And I don't know if any good comes of it being there the other 363 days of the year. Some people climb the stairs of the ski jump or run up and down the stairs of the ski jump. It's a 90-meter ski jump, so I know people use it for fitness.
Yeah, and the whole way that they run up it, they sing the Rocky theme. They get to the top, they put their hands up in the air, and they run back down, and then they run back up, and it's hockey, and then it's the Rocky theme again.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, it's really strange.
The stairs are strange. They're metal, and they're heavily perforated, obviously so that snow can fall through them, and they don't have to worry about shoveling them off for the competition. But I have walked up and down the stairs, maybe jogged, but you feel that you need to look at the stairs as you're going up and down, but being able to see through them at least gives me a crazy vertigo feeling. I'm surprised there haven't been horrifying injuries with people running up and down these stairs.
Yeah.
And I wonder if the town technically allows people to be on those stairs or on any part of the ski jump. They aren't patrolling it. It's a small town. You can do what you want at the ski jump, from what I gather.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's chained off. I know that, if you're going to go to, the start box, have you gone all the way up to the start box, where you would, sit on in?
Yes.
Yeah. To get there, which I haven't done, wink, you have to, step over, a gated part and then, walk up the rest of the part from not going up the hills on the stairway, so if you were to climb up. Because I went there from the trails.
I don't know that the gate is locked. I went there from the trails as well.
Oh, I'm pretty sure it is. I'm pretty sure I had to throw a leg over.
See, I went with my in-laws, and they definitely don't do breaking and entering, which is why I think the gate was open when I went. It could have been a fluke, though.
You know what? We'll have to climb it.
We will.
That's kind of it. But I remember going to the top of that and wanting to throw up instantly. It's a crazy thing. This is not.
Whew. And I know people that have actually gone on the ramp. I don't know how they've done it. They hop over the staircase and have gone on the ramp, and I'm sure they're not the only ones because it's a great photo op to sit at the edge of the ramp and take your picture. But that's got to be a trespassing liability issue, but okay.
Yeah.
Good for you, people. Knowing that, though, I've learned something about the end of the ramp.
Okay.
You would think, and even looking at it, it looks like the end of the ramp arcs up a little so that the skier can fly off and go up into the air.
Right.
Not true.
Flat. Is it flat? Or is
down.
It down.
It is angled down. If you were sitting on the edge, the friends I know that did that felt like they were going to fall off the edge because it was angled downward. And I absolutely thought it would have been the opposite.
Interesting. Well, do you know why that they do that?
It's science and physics. So
science
no.
and physics. No, that's pretty much it. Yeah, the only other one piece of information that I knew coming into this is, I think I learned at like one of the last couple of Olympics from watching, is that when these ski jumpers leave the end of the ramp or the table, they are like never more than like 10, 15 feet off the ground.
Really?
Because of the way that the slope is, like the angle of the slope of the hill that they land on, and the physics and everything else that go along with it. Like, so they just basically like coast like 10 feet above the ground, and then eventually when their momentum slows down, they really only drop 10 feet. Although, I mean, they're really 300, they're falling 300 feet, but at the same time, they're never more than 10 feet off the ground.
So they're doing more of a glide.
Yeah, they sort
than
of always,
arc.
Yeah, they always are falling parallel to the ground.
Never having seen ski jumping, I anticipated it being people just arching high into the sky and then coming down real fast and real hard.
Right. Yeah, not the case.
Huh. Well, that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see what else I have about this Harris Hill ski jump.
I got nothing.
I have some more about the event. Much of it is local lore, more than anything else. Apparently, we can expect to see several thousand people there.
No.
Yeah.
I'm not good with people.
Lots of people.
No.
However.
All right.
there are a lot of local sponsors, including food vendors and beer vendors. And
all right.
So that'll help you overcome
yep.
the people situation.
I will suppress my anxiety with pretzels and pizza and popcorn, hot chocolate, beer.
Hot chocolate and beer together?
Patent pending.
yeah, it's sponsored by... I have so many questions about how they pay for this and whether or not it's profitable to the town. I would imagine it is based on the traffic that I saw here yesterday. The big sponsor is Pepsi. So I'm also wondering if we're going to get any type of free Pepsi swag.
Ooh, that'd be great. I am also drinking a Mountain Dew.
That is true. You have done next level preparation for this.
Hell
if
yeah.
you're going to go watch an extreme sport.
I love Mountain Dew. I haven't had one in like years, but that I'm in the middle of a two, literally in the middle, literally in the middle of a 2 liter Mountain Dew.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it's got your puns on fire.
Yes, they do.
yeah, I guess we can move on to sort of what we're expecting here.
Okay.
Oh, we didn't talk about what we're wearing. We usually
this is the only time. I don't think it's worth talking about. We didn't talk about it ahead of time. I'm wearing pants.
Here's the one thing that's worth talking. I'm glad that you're wearing pants to something we're going to for once.
Yeah.
This is probably the fourth or fifth time this winter that I've wished that I had an 80s style one-piece ski suit.
Mm.
So I do just want to say that.
Okay.
If I had one of those, that is what I would be wearing. And I want to see a lot of other people there wearing that. I'm hoping for a flashback to 80s ski movie type of crowd.
Yeah. I also was interested in as much 80s garb that I could find this morning as well. But then I decided to just dress like normal.
It's pretty warm out today, so that's
it
also
is pretty warm.
Part of it.
Yeah.
I was concerned about layering and being outside for hours, and I mean, we're pushing 50 degrees here, people, so there was no need for that.
Yeah.
It's like spring here.
I'm working the mullet, though.
You are.
I'm going to work the mullet. So
that's all you need. That's 80s ski movie enough to suffice.
I have no other expectations about what I'm going to see there because I kind of know what's going on-ish. I'm going to see it on snow. I'm going to wonder how many people we're going to run into.
That we know.
Yeah, I'd be like, what are you doing? Doing a podcast.
That's right. Apparently there's tailgating. That's one thing I learned. I learned that the beer tent is heated. And what else do we need to know?
That's it.
Let's go.
Let's go.
All right.
See you guys. Everybody, welcome back to So How Was Your Weekend with Shannon and Craig, and we experienced the Harris Hill ski jump, and it was fun. I could say that. What did you think?
I had a great time. Harris Hill 2017.
Woo.
It was somewhat as expected. There were some things I was surprised by. Overall, I had a good time.
Okay. Yeah, let's get into it all. First, I'm going to start off by saying February in Vermont is generally pretty miserable. The weather is terrible. There's snow around.
Everybody's super grouchy.
Yeah. But we actually went on a very nice day. It was super warm. Plenty of snow for the skiers. It was comfortable. Everyone was jovial. There was a beer tent. So I think, like, we kind of lucked out on the day. On the 2 days, actually, because it was a two-day event.
I would say that if it had been a cold, miserable day, it would have been terrible. I think I actually said, if we were here and it was freezing, I would want to leave after 15 minutes.
Yep. Because we could have. We could have left after 15 minutes if we wanted to, if it wasn't so nice and, like, the festivities weren't so bumping.
I believe someone we spoke to actually said that had been to the ski jump a bunch of times. Yeah, I mean, it's the ski jump. You see that happen once and you know what it's all about. And, you know, he made the point that it's more about the atmosphere. And he was right about that.
Yeah, and he said, I think it might have been the same person, that it was the most busy or the most well-attended one that he remembers going to, and he's been going for like 20 years.
Yes, we're both talking about Greg. Shout out, Greg!
Greg, what's up, Greg? So we ended up actually getting free tickets, which I think is a very important story. It generally costs $20 to get in there to watch the ski jump, but we did not want to do that. Nor.
And I think you and I are both in agreement that we want to pay little to nothing for most of our weekend activities.
Right.
Obviously, there will be cases where money will exchange hands, but we're going to try to weasel our way around that as much as possible.
Yep. So we actually, we got free tickets, and Shannon was all over it, and you found free tickets, or you tracked them down somehow, and you...
I wandered around for a few days asking everyone I know from the town of Brattleboro if they could somehow get free tickets, and the day before the competition... Somebody came through.
Right. We almost had to volunteer.
That is the only other... The truly legitimate way to get free tickets is to volunteer.
Right.
Yes.
And if it wasn't a nice day, which we lucked out on, and we had to volunteer for that, like, we would have been pretty angry.
It is also a 3-hour volunteer commitment to get a ticket to the ski jump. So $20 value, 3 hours of... work telling cars where to park, which is more confrontation than I'm comfortable with having.
$6.33 an hour.
Yeah.
I'm worth more than that.
If there were two free beers thrown in with the package, then that meets my salary requirements, I would say.
Yeah, so we walked there. The roads were shut down. We walked on in, gave our tickets, got our hand stamped, and we proceeded to walk straight up the ski jump.
Right.
Which was very difficult because a lot of people were standing on the stairs to get up this very steep hill. And I have no patience, and you have a little bit more patience than I do, but I'm
from New York. I have no patience for standing in crowds of people.
Right. I was polite for probably like the first 35 stairs, and then I was like, I can walk past people faster than when I'm going up now and then people coming down. So we just like jumped into the snow and worked up a sweat on the way up.
That was pretty fun.
Yeah.
It's a steep incline and pretty high up there.
Yeah.
I don't know the precise measurements for how long of a distance it was, but it's 900 meters tall, the jump itself.
That's impossible. 900 meters tall. That's like 4 miles.
Yeah, I'm a little off with that.
No. From the end of the jump, the end of the ramp, the ski jumpers were landing 100 meters.
Wait, I need to work on my math.
Which means that like it was probably like 60 to 70 meters for the jump because it seemed like it was just about half.
The ramp itself.
The ramp itself.
Okay.
Which means...
Well, I'm going to let Craig take care of the mathematical aspect of the rest of this
conversation. I'm so good at math. There are people out here who know me. They'll laugh at that as well. But it was... the whole thing was probably 200 meters long.
Strenuous hike.
Strenuous hike. And we sat up there at the very top of the hill, like right at the edge of where the jump was. So we were having skiers just about jump right in front of us.
I was afraid that there could be a collision between skier and spectator. They let the spectators get awfully close. You could reach out and touch the ramp the skiers were flying off of.
Which was one of the advantages that we talk about of Harris Hill because it was built into the nature around it. So it was a natural ski jump where we would never have that access to that sort of up closeness.
And I think without that, you wouldn't have a proper appreciation for the sport at all because we got the up close view of seeing the skiers come flying off the ramp at terrifyingly fast speeds. And from a distance, you don't get a sense of that so much. What you more take in is they just kind of appear and start floating through the air and land. So it was cool to see up close how super fast they're going and being really a part of the action.
So part of it. And it gets even more dangerous if you sneak in whiskey nips before you go and stand close to skiers. Hypothetically, if that had happened, that would be very dangerous.
That is true.
That would be terrible.
You definitely would not want to be standing close to the edge of a ski jump ramp drinking nips of weirdly flavored whiskey.
Nope.
No.
So I think we should take a quick break. We can come back and talk about what exactly happened, what we saw, and then maybe how to make ski jumping, if you're going to go to a ski jumping event, how to make it just a little bit better.
Or how to make it the time of your life. All right, I hope you had as wonderful of a break as we just did.
Oh, yeah.
Harris Hill Ski Jump 2017, Brattleboro, Vermont. That is how our weekend was, and we're going to tell you some more about what went down. We don't usually let an episode go by without discussing fashion in some way, shape, or form. So, I have to talk about the ski jump outfits. I thought that it would be a unitard, and I'm pleased to say that I'm correct, and I love anything automatically that involves unitards. Here was the one thing I didn't realize, their unitards were as thick almost as wetsuits. Did you notice that?
I was going to say that they were as thick as koozies. But wetsuits works.
No, yours is so much better.
Yeah.
You're right. It was a koozie unitard.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. They're delicious on the inside. Filled with beer. No, don't drink and ski like that.
Ever.
That's a bad idea.
Again, I would say it's not even a great idea to drink and watch too closely.
That's right. It's a great idea to drink and watch from the parking lot, which we'll get into later.
Yeah, I think there's actually probably a formula for that.
Yeah.
Distance from ski jump ramp and...
alcohol consumption.
Yeah, for sure.
To have a good time and still make it relevant.
Indeed.
Perfect. Okay, so unitards.
Yep, that's fashion.
Koozie unitards.
And helmets, and the skis are huge.
They're huge.
Which was interesting to me. I guess that's more aerodynamic. It helps you catch more air, and therefore you go further.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's the issue of weight, but I'm sure they're made of some kind of crazy material.
Yeah, carbon fiber, something.
Mm.
Who knows? Who cares? They're wearing koozies.
That's the most important thing you need to know, for sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, and they were all, like, they were very nice. They were teal and purple and pink and shiny and koozie.
Very true.
Yeah, and they fly well.
And we got to see the skiers really up close because... I suppose Harris Hill Ski Jump, relatively speaking, is a small operation and is only used once a year. So apparently other ski jumps will have lifts for the skiers to ride up to where they're taking off from the top of the ramp. But the competition we were at, the skiers just got put in the back of pretty much a pickup truck, like what you would sit on in the back of a truck for a hayride in the fall. And they just got driven up a trail up to the ramp. So it was pretty, it could be up close and personal with the athletes if you wanted to have that interaction with them, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because in a lot of sports, the athletes you're watching are completely untouchable and inaccessible.
Yeah, you could have went over and like smacked somebody in the face if you wanted to. Be like, that's for not flying far enough. Smack. I don't know why I'm so aggressive right now.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Is that your instinct when you like have the opportunity to meet an athlete?
Just smack the Swedish folks. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry, Swedish folks out there. Like, that's my bad, my bad. We should talk about that because if we're talking about the skiers, a lot of the skiers were represented from other nations. There was like a handful of United States skiers. I think there was only one from Vermont in general. And then there was a lot from Lake Placid. The other ones were up from Lake Placid, but
I noticed a lot of Lake Placid.
That's right, coming back. The miracle on ice.
What is that?
Come on, it's the hockey movie. Come on, we gotta keep talking about this. We still have to watch this.
We will. It's on our list.
We talked about it when we were there.
I know.
Oh, jeez, man.
I'm just trying to get you more fired up than you already are.
Slap some. Scandinavians. I'm like, I don't get it, all right? But yeah, so that was there. But people were, they were festive. I think we dressed normally. From what
yeah,
I like,
just normal.
Just stuff. Yeah.
It was warm enough that you didn't need as many layers as we needed for ice fishing.
Right. But beyond that, the skiing that we saw, the ski jumping, it was pretty fun to watch.
It was not as I expected.
Well, you expected for them to fly straight up and fall straight down.
900 meters.
900 meters. Just
had big expectations.
Over a city. But it's no joke. I mean, most of these folks were jumping to about 90 meters, up to about 100 meters.
So,
go ahead.
So here's the thing.
What's the thing?
You're saying they were jumping, what was it, 900 meters?
90. God.
They're jumping 90 meters. So when I hear the verb jumping, the trajectory I see in my head is something that goes up and then comes down. So what I observed would more accurately be called gliding. Ski gliding? Because they kind of just falling, they glide off the ramp. And then they don't catch air. Like, they don't go up in the air. They float off the ramp and, well, yes, they're catching air, but they're not...
They're not flying straight out.
They're not gaining elevation off their jump. Yeah, it's a trajectory down.
They're falling at just about at the same rate that the slope of the ski hill is.
Yes, and that's not what I thought it was.
Right.
I thought it was more of an up and down and just like slamming into the ground and people. The landing definitely looks harsh because of the speed of it, but
not. And then the fact that you're flying through, you're off the ground for 300 feet, which you'll never ever find me doing on purpose. But it was fun. I liked it.
I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying it was different than I expected. Yeah. It looked really cool. Oh, we didn't talk about the idea that I had.
Let's talk about it, because I would love a refresher.
Well, you just said I would never go flying through the air for that long or for that distance. Right. But when we were at the ski jump, we were talking about whether or not it would be realistic to just grab a pair of skis and go up there and do it, and how many bones would you break, and, you know, how likely would it be that you would just die. And I said it would be cool if they did something like skydiving. From what I understand, if you skydive the first time you go, if you're not certified, you skydive tandem, like you're attached to an expert skydiver that's going to ensure your safety. And I said you should be able to go ski jumping tandem. Ugh. I would do that more over skydiving.
Okay.
It'd be like a baby step.
I was thinking actually of a baby strap to like the front of a person, like in how that would only be successful. Like if you ski jumped with a baby on your chest.
Oh.
Because you'd have, I feel like that's the only way it could happen.
You don't think a grown human being
could strap another grown human being to itself and like fly? No. It's worth a shot. I mean, go for it. Patent pending.
Patent pending. For sure. I think it could be done.
Okay.
I'll have to do some research. I'll have to do some math.
Yeah. So we saw adults jump, and we also saw some 11-year-olds, like younger kids, jump.
Yeah.
And that was the most impressive, and that was like a crowd favorite. As soon as the kids stopped jumping, a lot of the spectators kind of took off.
Right. And we were both pretty thoroughly amazed by the kids that were 11 years old. Going adult level distances in some cases. Yep. And we were both saying, kind of not kidding, like, look, that 11-year-old has accomplished more in their life than we ever will.
Yeah.
That 11-year-old is the coolest person ever.
Yeah.
It was pretty amazing.
Yeah. So we watched it the whole first day, and I have a follow-up because we didn't go on Sunday. But the Harris Hill ski jump record was beaten on Sunday by one of the folks that we saw there.
Was it?
Yeah, it was over 100 meters, so it was about 105. So there's a new record there. So next year, it's going to have to be overtaken.
It will be overtaken by me ski jumping tandem. Just wait and see.
That's crazy.
Oh, can we talk about, I mentioned a little bit about the amount of alcohol consumed relating to how close you were to the ski jump. So we went up to the top, we went down and stood around where the skiers landed and relatively maintained sobriety that entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And then it all went down right where you would expect it to. The parking lot!
That's right. Parking lot made it happen. So, Greg, who got the shout out earlier, we were kind of hanging out with him for a little bit and said, hey, you want a Bud Light? And of course, we said, absolutely. So he said, follow me to a truck and I can get you some Bud Light. And that's exactly how it went down. We had a great observation spot. Truck bed full of Bud Lights. Delicious. I love you. And we proceeded to drink, talk with each other, have a merry old time. Then every once in a while in the background, if we looked in the right direction, somebody jumped.
Right.
Yeah.
Fried food, bags of chips.
Mm-hmm.
We were doing it right at that point.
We were doing it right.
And that's all thanks to Greg, because we didn't know anyone there.
Right. Not what.
But he hooked us up with the right person, with the right truck, with the right Bud Light.
Matt? Was it Matt? I think Matt should get a shout out for supplying us.
Yes.
Matt, there was like Matt, there was like two Matts, like Amber. I don't know, I'm just making girls' names up that I saw. But they were all very friendly. So
they sure were.
It was a nice communal drinking, let's hang out and have an event sort of situation. So the next year, when we will attend or maybe go to a different spot, we have a few recommendations for you.
Right. If you're going to go to a ski jump competition,
there's some stuff you have to do, and we'll tell you right after our sponsored break. If there is anything that you know about Shannon and I from listening to So How Was Your Weekend, is that we both like good beer.
We sure do.
I love beer. And I have found a great little brewery in Gilsum, New Hampshire called Old Man Brewery.
We often say that we're powered by Bud Light, and there certainly are many instances where that may be the case, but if we want to talk about quality down-home microbrew.
Right. In southern New Hampshire, southern Vermont, you can find it anywhere.
That's where it's at.
That's right. Old Man Brewery.
Powered by Old Man.
Yeah. First of all, if you are of age, I would say bring some beers. And if you're going to bring those beers there, don't drink and drive.
Absolutely not.
But it should be noted that the truck situation that Matt and Greg hooked us up with was a great thing. So tailgating is a whole different event that is happening at the event, and I would do that.
That's how you're going to really make a day of it.
Yeah.
Because I think, as we said earlier, unless you're really passionate about the sport, after about 15, 20 minutes of observing, you kind of have a sense for what it is. But if you get your truck, you get your beers, you get your music.
You got a space to sit down, you got a space to dance, you got a place to mix drinks, you got a place to dance, you got a place to just party. And that's what it's about. It's about the festive nature of the ski jump event that really, when we go back, I talked about bringing some hay bales, parking trucks a little bit far apart so you have a space in the middle, and making it your own party inside a party.
Because everybody needs something festive to do in the bleak midwinter. Mm-hmm. And in this area, this is really one big opportunity that you should take advantage of.
Yep. So if there's anything out there in a winter event that you are at and you get a little bit of information that you want to go check out, just find somebody who's been, see if tailgating is kind of the thing, and prepare for a tailgate. Bring some warm weather gear, blankets, extra boots, if you're going to be standing outside. Chairs, whatever it is, make it your own. Tailgate, bring the grill. Bring some extra food because you know the upcharge on a hot dog is ridiculous.
For sure.
Now I'm getting angry because I love hot dogs. Famous Nathan's.
There's a great profit margin. Yeah, you could definitely turn a profit of some kind.
Sell t-shirts.
We talked about selling t-shirts. That what we're going to say, the new ski jump catchphrase.
Hitting the V, because every single person who was ski jumping was hitting the V. And we know that they weren't Kongs burgering down like they were doing in 1914.
Right.
All the way up to 84? 85.
Right. So it's a great place to hawk your wares, be they hot dogs or clever innuendo t-shirts.
Mm-hmm. Just do it. Go.
Yeah.
Consume some. Hang out some. Meet new people.
See something that you probably haven't really seen before.
Yep. And then the next year when it comes back around again, do it up. Make it your own. Like we will next year at Harris Hill 2018.
We'll see you there.
Hitting the V.
We are expanding our social media presence. We have created Instagram and Snapchat accounts in addition to the Twitter, Facebook, and email that we have. Just a reminder, on Twitter, you can find us at howwasyourweekend. You can email us at howwasyourweekend@gmail.com. Just remember, weekend is WKND because that's what all the cool kids are doing. And I believe you can find us on Instagram and Snapchat through the email address, but we're kind of aged out of Instagram and Snapchat, and so we're like two grandparents trying to figure out how that all works. And finally, we are going to start a YouTube channel that is in the works. So in addition to hearing about our antics, you'll also be able to see them in the future. Please keep listening. Please keep spreading the word about our podcast. And for sure, get in touch with us with some suggestions for what we should do this weekend. Thanks.